And the title of my message is History Repeats Itself. History repeats itself. If you want to know what's ahead of us, look what happened in the past. Because history repeats itself, especially when people or as a nation, we take a road or a path that does not please the Lord. We can always go back into the Word of God and look into the Bible, look the stories that are out there, and be reminded what is the result of the trajectory that we have taken as a nation. Today I want to talk to you about a period in history during Elijah's time where I see a lot of similarities of what we see today happening around us just in different ways that happened in the past. As today we begin our time of prayer and fasting, it's a reminder to us of how much we need the Holy Spirit. It's also a reminder to us how much we need God. And also reminds us how much we need His mercy. His mercy that triumphs over judgment. His mercy that we need today in our families, in our communities, in our nation, and around the world. His mercy. Oh God, have mercy. There was a season in the Old Testament where the spiritual state of a nation, the nation of Israel, a nation that was chosen by God, was in a bad shape. It was in a decline. It was a state where they were just doing their own thing and God no longer was mentioned among certain people. It reminds me of a time that we live today, that at one point or another, there was a nation where it was glorified in a sense of, in a good way around the world, that this nation, United States of America, it was the spiritual breadbasket of the world. I remember growing up when I was a kid, when we had missionaries and pastors traveling from United States, bringing the Word of God to our villages where we grew up. It was a moment when we looked up to something that we, it was for us foreign, but we looked up to, and it was such an anticipation to see and to know what God is going to do in our nation, in the former Soviet Union. And it was United States that God has used mightily around the world to bring the gospel and the gospel to be preached. But to a degree, something happened in the land we live in. And as it was in the past, because of the compromise that began in Solomon's at the end of his life, as a result, later on, the tribes of Israel were split into two. They were known as Israel and Judah, or another one, or another name would be Northern and Southern Kingdom. And it was all because of compromise. It was all because Solomon, at the end of his life, you would think, in the beginning, he was asking the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon him. He saw the miraculous move of God in his life. And you would think that this man that walked with the Lord at one point in his life, that he would know better. But in the end of his life, he did not end his life the way he started. And that led generation after generation for them to drift away from the Lord. And one of the things is the beginning of destruction is the division that happened in Israel nation. And also the division that we see in the body of Christ, the division that we see in this nation, it's one of the signs that we're headed in the wrong direction. It's one of the things that was very, very obvious during that time when Israel and Judah, they split because some of them wanted to follow God and the other ones, they wanted to have a king and follow their own heart. During this time, Jeroboam was their king and he made bad decisions that led the people to live a compromised lifestyle. How much depends from leadership? It starts with leadership. It starts on the top and whenever when bad decisions are made in the top, it affects the whole nation. The decisions that are made today in the upper courts in our nation, it affects all of us. But it's because people have chosen to drift away from the principles of the gospel and they went their own way. He created two places to worship since Israel did not include Jerusalem where the Lord's temple was located. It was very common and known to them. There were rules and regulations. There were stipulations put to them where they were to worship the true and living God and may I add the only God. But they said, well, let's bring some mixture. Let's do some more things here. So he chose two locations to worship, the golden calf idols in the northern and in the southern borders. And this was the beginning of their idolatry. This was the beginning where they began to just slide into the sinful lifestyle. They began to say, well, there's other things in life that we should include. It's not just enough to serve the Lord, but let's just serve our own ideas, our own gods. Let's create things that we can see and let's follow that. It was never intended by God for them to do that. They knew the hand of God. They knew what God or who God was for them. They knew what God did in their lives and the faithfulness that God has shown in their life. But it came a moment where they said, no, we're just gonna go our own way. It began there and it went downhill from that point. From that point on, this nation was headed for destruction. They refused to receive the counsel of God that was sent through the prophets. They were listening to people only that tickled their ears. There were people that were warning them. And they were saying, no, we don't want to listen to you. We rather choose our own ways to do things. The kings that followed Jeroboam's reign were bad. But also later on, another king arose, Ahab. And he's been considered one of the worst kings during that time. He married Jezebel, who was devoted to the worship of Baal. And also she did not only did this by herself, but she included prophets. She included people around her. She included people that would support her and support the idea of being dedicated to Baal and the foreign gods. And those prophets would prophesy on the people and would have control over the people. And that was the effect and the result of the destruction that they were on. False prophets were a hindrance to bring the word of God that people needed to hear. Listen, all of the things that I'm sharing with you right now, just think about in the contrast of what we're facing today. Because history tends to repeat itself, especially when we turn away from the ways of the Lord. They contradicted the word of God. They contradicted the ways of the Lord and they were speaking to the people. They would speak messages that people wanted to hear and would appeal to their sinful lifestyle. And we see that today, how many so-called prophets are there that they would say things and the people love it. The people embrace it. The people jump up and down because it goes with their lifestyle. Some commentators, while I was studying this passage, describe it best that during that season, where the false prophets were prophesying, they also said a few things about the true prophets. When I read all these commentaries, I begin to think about our nation and how exactly we face the same thing. So here's a few things that the false prophets would do, or the characteristics of the false prophets. Work for political purposes to benefit themselves. Does that sound familiar to us? Another one or another quality of false prophet during that time. Hold a position of great wealth. Hold possession, and everything was about how rich they can get on the backs of the people. And this was the time that they were facing. Another one was give false messages. They were good at it. They didn't need to go seek the Lord. They didn't need to go and ask the Lord, God, what would you have said to the people? They didn't do that. But the messages were right there and then because they were speaking from their own belly. They spoke only what the people wanted to hear, not what God was saying. And those were some of the qualities that the false prophets were doing during that time. Now, the true prophets, it's a little bit of a different story. He says they worked for spiritual purposes to serve God and the people. This was the true prophet's desire to be able to work for spiritual purposes to serve God first. God first and then God's people. Another one, they owned little or close to nothing. This was the life of a prophet. It was not about wealth and gain and how much they can get. But it was a lonely road. It was a road that they give everything out for the sake of seeking the Lord on behalf of the people. And I'm not saying that this is the only way to do it. I'm not saying that you have to live poor and kind of head that way. But it's the condition of the heart of the prophet. It is a condition to say, Lord, I want to please you and I want to say what you have called me to share. They spoke only true messages. They spoke only true messages. They spoke only what God told them to say, no matter how unpopular that message was. And those are a few simple things that they distinguish between false prophets and true prophets of the Lord during that time. And during that time, there were a lot of false prophets. And this nation that was called by the Lord, this nation that was blessed, they chose to hear the false prophets and serve not the true living God, but Baal. So now you have Ahab and Jezebel who devoted Baal worship and hundreds of prophets who she would bring with her to do the same. She devoted herself, she devoted her life to the Baal worship, to do all this wickedness before the Lord. At this point, Israel is not walking in the ways of the Lord. False gods, false prophets, living in idolatry. And in the middle of this, the Lord is raising a remnant. In the middle of all this chaos, the Lord has a plan and he raises up one of the greatest prophets by the name of Elijah, who is also called a fiery prophet. In the middle of all this darkness, God says, I'm not done with this nation. I'm not done with my people. But I'm gonna suggest to them to turn away from their idolatry and to serve me. And Elijah, who confronted, not comforted, so many people, they comfort. No, but Elijah had the ability and had the boldness to confront the darkness around him. Not comforted, but confront Ahab and expose the false prophets for who they are and reveal all the darkness that they were offering to people. We need people that will rise up in the day we live in to speak in love, but to stand on truth. To speak in love, but to stand on truth. We need people that will rise and call things the way they're out there. But let me tell you something. Elijah was called by God to do that thing. Elijah was called by God for that very reason and he was persecuted. And how much more we are to be aware of. When we stand for what the biblical principles are, we will be persecuted. Not if, but when. But when. And let us be very clear that when we know what's ahead of us, and when we choose to stand in the power of God, when we choose to ask tonight and to come to this place and fast and pray to say, God, we need your Holy Spirit. That's the very reason why we need him, because we cannot stand on our own. That's the very reason why we need the power of God, so we can stand boldly and proclaim the love and the mercy of God in compassion. I've seen so many people on the streets of New York, when I would travel to New York at times, or even in Harrisburg or other places, where people would share the gospel, but there is nothing attractive about what they're sharing because it's such an anger that comes in and through their lives. We need to stand in love, in mercy, and in truth. And what has to drive us, it is the love of Jesus Christ. That has to drive us to share this gospel and to stand. But I'm telling you, we need the Holy Spirit to send the winds and waves that are coming against us, so we can say, God, only by your grace I'm gonna make it. And that's what we're gonna be doing tonight, acknowledging and agreeing with the Lord as we fast and pray, that we can say, God, we need your Spirit one more time. The Spirit of God is not given for entertainment. The Spirit of God is not giving for a show. The Spirit of God is not giving for just to do movie channels or to do TV channels. And to pretend on TV how things are done. No, we need the Spirit of God to withstand, to live a life according to the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit in our private life, in our home, with our children, with our families. We need the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to be Christians in those moments. We need the Holy Spirit to give us the ability that we do not have on our own to live a holy life that is called according to the word, that we're called according to the Bible to live. We need the Holy Spirit. It's not just a fuzzy feeling. It's not just whenever one music is on. It's not just when we sing three songs, but it's 24/7. The Holy Spirit indwells in us and He carries us. And I love when we have a prayer time with our leaders and pastors. One of the things Pastor Carter often reminds all of the leaders on the phone, and he says, one of his prayers, God, help us to be aware of your presence. It's not that he's not there, but so often we forget that he's there. We're not aware of him and we choose our own ways, but we need to be aware of him. We need to be reminded day after day that he's with us and that he is within inside of us and that we belong to him. Now the question that I have is what took place and what did Elijah do to witness one of the greatest moves of the Holy Spirit during his time? I kind of shared a little bit in condensed story of the history of what Elijah was facing right before him. And I believe to a degree we face some of these things in our life right now, in our nation. But I don't want to stop there. I don't want to stop just on that note where everything was bad. But I want to ask a question. What did Elijah do? What kind of walk Elijah had? What was his heart's desire for see one of the most powerful move of the Holy Spirit in his lifetime? Today we would call that revival. And we pray and we seek the Lord and we're asking God, would you send revival in our nation? Would you send revival around us? But let me tell you, when we read the word of God, every time where things were getting bad, this is when God showed up and he sent an awakening. We want revival our way. We want our wallets to be full. We want our homes to be full of things. We want toys. We want all of these things. And we want to live our own lifestyle the way we want. And then we say, God sent revival. But I believe that God is answering the cry of the church today when we say God sent revival. Because at times he allows things to get bad so we can know how much we are in need in the power of God. He will allow things in the world to go wacko so we can say, God have mercy, so we can call on the name of the Lord. Because God is still in control. And doesn't matter what goes on in the world we live in, God is still in control. Because he chooses to walk with his people. And all of the obstacles around us now are causing us to say, God have mercy. It's causing us to pray and fast. It's causing us to come to the Lord and say, God, lead our lives. And one of the first things in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 and down, I'm not going to read all the scripture, but some of the verses. Elijah has a message to Ahab. You see, in the time of darkness, in the time where there was destruction, Elijah, as the true prophet of God, he had a message. And I believe that we're called as the Church of Jesus Christ in times like this for us to have a message. For us to have a message. And what was his message? He also foreknew, he began to prophesy what's going to be ahead of their life. There will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give a word. And he's telling the people, he's telling Ahab, listen, enough is enough. God is going to come and intervene. And one of the things that I'm going to do, I have a message from the Lord. There will be coming a rain later on, but it's going to come as we're going to cry out to the Lord. But as of now, because of your sin, because of the things that are going on in this nation, because of the compromise, God is going to send a famine. God is going to take the waters away. He's going to take the dew away. And you're going to encounter things in your life that will cause you to cry out to the Lord. God sends Elijah to hide during this time by the brook of Jordan River. He told him to drink the water there. And also he commanded the birds to bring, the ravens to bring him food. How amazing is that? That even in the time of destruction, even in the time of famine, even in the time of everything is going crazy, but God says, I'm gonna take care of my people. I'm gonna supernaturally provide for my people. I'm gonna make a way where there is no way. Even if I have to command my birds to come and bring you supernaturally food, I'm going to do that because I am God and I love you and I care for you. And this is what was going on during that time. that he began to encourage Elijah. And he began to say, listen, all of the things are gonna go on, but I'm gonna take care of you if you walk with me. It's a supernatural walk. It's a walk of miracles. It's a walk not that is gonna be a show out of it, but it's a walk, it's a lonely walk, a walk that only me and you are gonna walk together, and you will have to rely upon me for the strength and provision. In verse 5, so Elijah did as the Lord has told him and camped beside the Kerish Brook, east of Jordan. Verse 6, then the ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. Verse 7, but after a while the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. You see, it's amazing when God supernaturally provides. But even in that moment now, God is saying, Elijah, you have to walk with me now, and I'm gonna lead you through some difficult moments in your life. The brook that you found water no longer is gonna give you water, because your supernatural will have to walk with me. And isn't it amazing that even the moments, whenever when it was, the brook was dried up, God had a plan for Elijah. Because he also heard a cry of a widow. You see, sometimes we think the life is all about us. It's all about our provision. It's all about how I can get fed. It's all about me, me, and me. It's a me generation, right? But listen, God heard the cry of somebody else. And he says, I'm gonna dry up the brook. So Elijah, you're not gonna hang out there anymore. I'm gonna dry up this brook so you can leave and meet the cry of the nation out there. We're not called just to do devotions in our rooms. We're not called just to sit and be fed and say how amazing this is. But sometimes the spiritual wilderness will come in our life, and it's not because God is against us, but because God is nudging us out of those places to go and answer the cry that is out there of the widow, of the people that are out there crying out to the Lord. And over here in verse 9, he says, go and live in the village. I have entrusted a widow there to feed you. That is crazy. A widow who needs help. But God is saying, I entrusted her to take care of you. So you don't think too much about yourself. So you don't think how great of a man of God you are. But I'm gonna lead you to some lonely roads. As you are an answer to her, I'm gonna speak to her to live a life of faith as well. He asked her for her to give her a little bit of water. Can you give me a little bit of water because I'm thirsty? And while she was doing that, giving her a little bit of water, Elijah has enough courage, or he has the guts to say, well, how about you bring me some food as well? In that moment, whenever he says, I'm gonna push just a little bit, I'm thirsty, give me a little bit of water. She says, well, I'm gonna give you. And while she's doing that, hey, don't forget, bring me the food. And don't forget, during that time, she's collecting sticks. She's trying to probably make a fire to do some food for her son. And the Bible says that actually it was their last meal that they were preparing for. It was the last meal that they were just trying to get together and to eat. And I don't know what kind of conversation they would have. Son, this is our last meal. Is there some of the things you would like to talk with me about? We're gonna face that, and we're gonna pass away in a few days or whatever, how long we're gonna live. It would be very hard season in their life. And here Elijah says, no, you share what you have. It reminds me also of the days of the apostles where they began to share what they had. Pastor Carter, a few weeks ago, he preached a message here that it's gonna come a time, and it's gonna be such a beautiful thing that Pastor David actually saw a vision how the believers were sharing their food, were sharing their belongings with other believers. And it was such a beautiful thing about that, because it became a moment when it was not everything about me, but it was how can I serve somebody else. It's a true joy when we serve. It is a true joy when we begin to share things with those that are in need. But Elijah said to her, not to be afraid. She said, I'm gonna die. What are you talking about? I'm gonna take the food from a child. But listen, do not be afraid, because God is able and faithful to provide when we walk a life fully trusting him. Do not be afraid. You're not gonna be left alone. The righteous will not be left to beg bread. Do you understand that? We belong to Jesus Christ. He will carry us through. He will bless us. He will bring just enough for us to go forward. Years ago, I reminded you before, but I want to just mention again, my grandfather, when he was in prison for faith, he lived on a cup of water and a piece of bread that he told me, when you look through the piece of bread like this, you will see the light through it. It was so thin. And this was their meal. And God has carried him through those years in prison, being beaten, heavy labor that they were put upon to work and to do all those things, and a jar of water and a piece of bread, because not by bread alone man shall live, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. This is our food when we walk with the Lord. Yes, we're not gonna go hungry. Yes, we need to eat, but more than that, we need to walk with the Lord. More than that, we need to be fed spiritually, because that's gonna give us the ability and the courage to withstand what's ahead of us and to go forward in the Lord. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit like never before. That's why we're gonna gather and cry out tonight to the Lord. God, fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Feed our souls so we can have the strength to move forward. He's calling her to live a life of faith. He's calling her to live a life of faith. Supernatural provision from the Lord. Hallelujah. And verse 14 says, there will be always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So he's sharing with her to listen. If you're gonna trust the Lord from the little you have, it's gonna come a time that supernaturally you will see the provision of the Lord, just enough till abundance come. Just enough till that day when God is gonna pour out the blessings of the Lord. Just enough when he's going to pour out the rains. Just enough when the crops are going to grow again and there will be joy. But now, we would think that's an amazing story, right? That's awesome story. And the very next thing, what Elijah promised her that it's not going to happen, it happened. In the time of sorrow, the time of test, now came into the home of this widow. The son became sick. He became ill. He was getting worse and worse. And it came a moment when he passed away, he died. The very thing that this woman was afraid of, it happened right in front of her eyes. Verse 17, "O man of God, what have you done to me?" In different words, it's almost an accusation. Have you been really walking with the Lord? Did you really have a message from the Lord? Because I trusted you, or you're one of those false prophets as well. Did you really hear from the Lord? Because whatever what I was afraid of, it came into my home. And it came into my home without a warning. It seemed like we had enough food just for the meal. But now I'm struggling. Have you come here to point out my sins and kill my son? And she's looking in his eyes with sorrow, and she talks with Elijah. And Elijah took the son into a private room. And he began to pray and cry out to the Lord. "Oh Lord, my God, please let this child's life return to him." And isn't it amazing that even though there's so many young people that are dead in their sin, it is our responsibility, like Elijah, to come into our rooms, to gather together tonight or this morning as we're here, and to cry out to the Lord for the spiritual awakening again into the lives of people. Those that God has promised to us, those children that belong into the kingdom of God, but spiritually they're dead, they're gone. But we are to cry out to the Lord and say, "Almighty God, would you bring revival again? Would you come again and breathe life into their lungs?" And this is what Elijah said, "Oh Lord God, please let this child's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's prayer and the life of the child returned. Isn't it amazing what God can do when we choose to pray? Isn't it an amazing thing when we choose to say, "God, I'm gonna walk your way, even though when it seems like it's too late, I'm gonna come to you because it's never late for you. Would you bring life again into this nation? Would you for a moment bring life again? Would you send your harvest, oh God? Would you send our life again? Would you use our life for one more time for you to have a great, great harvest for your kingdom?" And now in 1 Kings chapter 18, later on in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, "Go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him that I will soon send rain." The nation of Israel did not do anything to deserve that. They did not do anything to say, well, I deserve this rain. But in His mercy, God is saying, I love you and I want you to come back to me. And He meets Obadiah, who was a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, who was serving in the palace of the king. Obadiah also had hidden 100 prophets, 50 each into different caves, and he was feeding them. He was giving them water and bread. Supernaturally, God was taking care of His people. God is faithful, hallelujah. And it came a moment that now I would like to bring your attention to 1 Kings chapter 18. And I'm not gonna read the whole passage that I was planning to do since we're running a little bit late. But I wanna just remind all of us, verse 14 says this, and now you say, go and tell your master Elijah is here, because they thought they're gonna be dead if they bring a message like that to Ahab, to say that one of the greatest prophets just showed up and Elijah's here, he wants to see you. But Elijah said and answered, but the Lord Almighty, who's called me, He has commanded me to stand before Him today. This very day I might see Ahab and talk with him. Verse 16, so Obadiah went and told Ahab that Elijah came, and Ahab went out to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, so it's really you, you troublemaker of Israel. You see, I believe that we're gonna enter into a season in this nation and around the world that believers are gonna be accused of the things that are going on in the world. Because this is really where persecution starts. It's whenever that they say, you're in the way. You're in the way of what is going on. It's your fault because you had spoken out. It's your fault because you have the standards according to the word of God. It's your fault that we're reaping all of these things because it's your God. And over here in verse 18 says, Elijah responds, I have made no trouble for Israel. Elijah replied, you and your families are the troublemakers, for you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshiped the images of the Baal instead. And he is saying, it's not me. You are reaping the very thing that you have sown. You are reaping the very things that you have made decisions in life to serve the false gods, to serve Baal. And this is the result. But God in His mercy now is sending me to remind you that the latter rain is about to come. Would you believe in that now? Even in the midst of destruction, the latter rain is about to come. He's about to pour out His rain from heaven. And later on, He's asking the people, how much longer will you waver? Hobbling between two opinions. If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. You see, God always gives a decision to us to make, who we want to follow. As the Church of Jesus Christ, who do we want to follow? And I know that we all are saying that we want to follow Jesus Christ, but can it be that between the days and the lines of our life, we begin to follow our own desires? As a nation, that we begin to follow our own ideas. And over here it says, you have to make a decision who you have to follow. And over here it says, well, let's meet at the Mount Carmel. We're gonna do two altars and we're gonna slay this bull and we're gonna ask the Lord. I'm gonna pray to the Lord and ask Him to bring fire down. And whatever, you're not gonna put any fire out there, but supernaturally when that fire comes, if it comes on your altar, we're gonna serve your God. But if it comes on my altar, this is the true and living God. And it came a moment where all these false prophets, they're running around, morning, afternoon, they're all running around, they're all exhausted, they're crying out to their gods and nothing is happening. They're crying out to their images and nothing is happening. And now, I would like to read with you what Elijah did. He says in verse 30, then Elijah called to the people. You see, this is how revival starts. One of the first things, he began to call to the people. The second thing he says over here, they all crowded around him. You see, people are lost today. can you say about yourself? Can I say about myself? Can I have people around me that they will come and look at my life and look at how I follow Christ, and they would be with anticipation to receive something because we serve a true and living God? And this is what Elijah did. And he says, and he repaired the altars of the Lord that they had broken down or they have torn down, which indicates that at some point there was an altar there. You see, he did not build an altar, but he has brought back to life an altar that used to be there, but it was destroyed. And this is what is going on around the world today. We see altars that belong to the Lord, our homes, our families, our marriages, that are being bombarded from left and right. All these things that belong to the Lord, that somehow or another compromise have come in, destruction have come in. And now we're reaping as a nation the results of the sinful lifestyle. But the Bible says that Elijah began to rebuild all of those things that were broken. He took 12 stones, one to represent each of the tribes of Israel. And isn't it amazing? In the beginning, I began to talk to you about unity and how that unity was broken down and how there became now two tribes of Israel. And now over here, Elijah, in front of this wicked nation, in front of this tribe that are out there, he's bringing 12 stones that represents the 12, not 10 tribes that were there, but 12 tribes that were originally there. And he reminds them, if you want to see the move of the Holy Spirit, you have to choose again to walk in unity. If you want to see and witness the move of God in your life, you have to choose as a church, as the body of Jesus Christ, to be united, to be together. You have to choose to put your differences aside and to come to the cross where we all belong. And to say, it's all about Christ. I did not die for you. Leaders did not die for you. Jesus Christ died for the church. And when we put all the differences aside, this is what Elijah does. One of the first things, he began to rebuild what was broken. He began to rebuild the division that was there behind the tribes. He began to build those rocks. It was a picture that if you want to see the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you, you must choose to walk united again. You must choose the ways of the Lord. And this is what he did here. And the Bible says later on, in verse 36, in the usual time for offering of the evening sacrifices, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are the God of Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all these things to your command. Verse 37, O Lord, answer me. Answer me so this people will know that you, O Lord, are the God and that you have brought them back to yourself. I want to stop you for a moment. You see, Elijah's prayer is not about him. No longer he's saying, oh, how great of a prophet I am. But he's turning to the Lord and saying, it's you, God, have mercy. It is you, the Lord, show your power. It is you who's going to bring this nation back to you. Would you open their eyes again for them to see that it's your power that has brought them to this place? And verse 3 says, immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull and the wood and the stones and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell face down to the ground and cried out, the Lord, He is God. Yes, the Lord, He is God. And this was the result of a man that walked with the Lord. This was a moment when they have witnessed revival. This was the moment when they saw the true move of the Holy Spirit, because God has chosen to do it. Because God desires for His people to come back to Him. And I believe that this is the day we live in. This is some of the similarities that we live in this nation. The people chose their gods, people chose their own ways. People chose to live their lives, serve Baals. People chose to just do things their own way and little by little walked away from the Lord. But God is not done, because God is not gonna come in a defeated world. He's not gonna come in a world that it's so dark and it's so polluted before He says, I'm gonna send one more time The power of the Holy Spirit, I'm gonna send one more time, a sweep of the Holy Spirit to awaken my church. He's not gonna say, I'm just gonna come and whatever how you are. No, he's gonna say, I'm gonna pour out your mercy one more time. I wanna come and just bring an awakening in the body of Christ that they will affect the world around you, because I love you and I want you to be saved, because his heart desire that not one should perish in sin. Because so he loved the world. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that is the gospel. That is the gospel. That whatever darkness is out there, there is hope that Jesus Christ is gonna use you and me in the time we live in to say, you have a message. Share this message with the world now. We possess a message, my brother and sister. We possess a message, and the message is this. Yes, there's gonna come famine. Yes, it's gonna come a season of destruction. Yes, it's gonna be a season of wilderness. But through this time, God is faithful, because he's gonna send rain again. He's gonna send a lot of rain that only supernaturally in his mercy he will do. And I'm not gonna read this passage, but here in the 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 and down, it talks about that Elijah again went to the mountain. And he put his head down between his knees and he began to pray to the Lord. Go, God Almighty, I know you have promised rain. Would you send rain? And he's sending the servant, would you go and see this clouds? Is there any clouds? Is there rain coming? And the messenger goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, till a moment came that he says, I see a little cloud. It's the size of a man's palm. I see it is coming. And this is when Elijah gets up and he gets encouraged and he has a message again to Ahab. And he says, you have to go, because this rain that is about to come is gonna overflow. This rain that has to come is gonna overflow this nation. You better get going. And the power of God came, the rain of the Lord came, and revival came into this nation, because God still loved them. Because God wanted to unite them. And one of the things that happened then that is so much needed to happen now, the fire, it's also a symbol and representation of the Holy Spirit. And whatever happened in the Old Testament, it happened in the New Testament at the day of Pentecost. And also we're gonna be praying one more time, God, would you fill our hearts? Would you fill our hearts? It doesn't mean that we don't have the Holy Spirit. It means that we need more of him. It means that we need more of him. That our flames can burn for him, that we can live this life fully given to him and for his glory. You and I have a message to share like Elijah. Don't relate to a false prophet, but relate to Elijah, one of the messengers that preached the gospel, stood out and shared unashamedly in the love of God. And the deeds were following him. The power of God was following him, because God has chosen to send revival. Not Elijah, God has chosen to send revival. And he says, I'm looking for people that will call upon my name. I'm looking for people that will rebuild bridges. I'm looking for people like Elijah that will rebuild the stones, that will bring unity again in churches, unity again in the families, unity again in marriages. I'm looking for those people. I'm looking for those people, because it starts there when we walk in unity. When we walk in unity. And the Bible says that he did everything according to the word of God. And this is where I want to end, and we're going to pray. He says, God, I did everything in accordance to your word. Now send your fire. Isn't it amazing? When we can come before God and say, God, I did everything according to your word, as best as I can. I'm doing everything the way your word is calling me to do. Now would you send the supernatural power that I need? Would you fill my heart with your Holy Spirit? Would you cause me to live? And I bet you, as it happened in Elijah's days, it will happen in our days, that he will send a revival, because he desires and delights to save people. Father, we thank you for your word that has power. God, we thank you for the examples of the word of God that you have called us to read and memorize and go back always to be reminded that you are faithful. God Almighty, forgive us in the moments when we choose our ways instead of your way. Forgive us that at times we cannot say that I did everything according to your word. Would you send revival now. Would you send your fire now? God, forgive us. And I pray that you would give us the qualities that Elijah had to rebuild the division that was there, to rebuild these altars. Because you delight and you promise blessings where there is unity. Would you forgive us as a church, as a whole, that we have divided the body of Christ into categories by thinking that the only person that is right is me. Forgive us, oh God, that we come to the cross where we all belong. Forgive us that we left the cross in moments. We left that place where we are to be at your feet and we just wandering in the world. Bring us back, oh God. Bring us back in your mercy and kindness. Bring us back as the body of Christ. Bring us back as the bride of Christ, oh Lord. And cause us to choose to rebuild that what the enemy has brought into our lives to divide us and to break us. God Almighty, give us the grace to say like Elijah, I've done everything according to your word. Because there is a promise when we walk according to your word, you command blessing. You command revival. You command supernatural provision. You command those things because they're not in our own power that we can offer, but it's a supernatural thing that when we come to you, you are granting those things to us and through us to the people because you love them. Because you love them, oh God. Oh, we love you this morning. We praise you this morning, oh God. And as we go into this time of prayer and fasting, God, we're acknowledging how empty we are and how much we need your Holy Spirit. God, help us as a church to show up tonight and to cry out to you tonight that we need you, oh God. We need your Holy Spirit. We need you, oh Lord. We need you in our families, in our marriages, between our children, in our communities, in our school, in our nation. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. God, help us. Have mercy, O God, and send the letter rain, O God Almighty. Send the letter rain, O Jesus. Save people, O God. Bring people to yourself, O Father. And use this church in Granville, Pennsylvania to be the answer of the prayer that I'm praying to you right now, O God. Choose our lives, O Father, for us not to be people that will be just bystanders that will watch what you do. God, forgive us for the moments when we did that in our life. But we gave our life to you, we belong to you. Now use our life in your kingdom so we can be part of what you're doing in the world, in our community. Help us, O Lord, to live a life, not to be selfish people, but to be people that will share, to be people that will give a hug to the broken, to be people that will pray for others. Help us, O God, because we cannot do this on our own. We are selfish people on our own, but we need your Holy Spirit to melt our hearts and to run to you so we can run to people, because this is what your kingdom is about, is saving people. Help us, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray.